Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Network. The following show is just horrifying. Beware.
My friendship to all of you precludes my involvement with any one of you. But if you want to make love, yes, then I do too, and I'll be right there behind you.
Season's greetings, constant listeners, and welcome back to the Losers Club, a Stephen King podcast. I'm your host, Michael Monroeville Mall Rothman, looking very similar to one of the many haggard zombies stumbling around my namesake in the late George A. Romero's iconic film. But hey, malls, that's a good seg for today, because if you couldn't tell from the colorful lights, the Bing Crosby hits in your local CVS, and the discount wrapping paper bins you keep bumping into, we're in the throes of the holiday season, a time when everyone watches the same 20 movies and buys the same 30 things for the same 10 people who remember zero of them come February. But hey, we're not in Whoville.
Bah humbug.
And I'm not the Grinch, and I'm not the Scrooge. This is the Losers Club, and if you've been listening to us all these years, we're coming up on six years by my count. You know what time it is. You know what time of the year it means to us, constant listeners. It means we're due for yet another Kingmas celebration. Now, what does that mean? Well, given our track record, it's more or less been a blanket term for us to celebrate the holidays in King's Dominion. In the past, we've done mailbag episodes. We've done Needful Tweets episodes. And we've even had some guests come on. But last year, something stuck for us, and well, I'm sticking to it. Last year, for our patrons and the Barons, www.patreon.com/thebarons, got to do the
nice
free
plugs.
By the way, right now in the seasonal times, if you want to do an annual membership, 15% off. All right, I'm done doing the plug. Back to this. So last year, we gathered around the Kingmas tree and doled out all the Kingian gifts after taking notes from Cy King ourselves. And, you know, we used our old-fashioned imagination to dream up all the kind of items that we'd want, that we think any constant reader or constant listener would want also. And we made our own sort of wish list that was steeped in King's Dominion lore. It was such a fun time that we thought, well, let's do it again. And given that it's the season of giving, why not open up these festivities to our main feed? So that's exactly what we're going to be doing today. And I've put together a crackerjack team, including one very familiar face to the club, all to bring you good tidings and cheer, whatever the hell that means, good tidings and cheer. I've always wondered, tidings? Okay, anyway, let's introduce them and get to work. First up, our favorite soul from Sidewinder by way of Nashville, Jana, please say hello and tell us on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being ice cold like Jingle Bell Jack in Kubrick's The Shining, and 10 being rabid like Castle Rock Caroling Cujo, how much are you into the Kingmas spirit this year, and why and why not?
Hey, this is Jen to the Rage Adams. And I would say on a scale of 1 to 10 for Kingmas, I'm like a 9. On a scale for Christmas, I'm like maybe a 4, you know. I'm a Grinch.
Okay.
But I'm trying. I've watched Black Christmas at least 5 times. Ooh. I've watched Krampus probably 5 or 6 times at this point. So I've bought a couple of presents and some for myself too. But yeah, I'm getting there. So hopefully Kingmas will get me to maybe a 7 on the Christmas scale.
What'd you buy for yourself?
Shoes and sweaters.
I knew you were going to say sweaters. I was. I know. That's why I asked. So any any cool designs on it, or is it mostly just the solid colors for the sweaters?
Solid colors. I have one that has two colors on it this time, blue and green.
Oh my
god! So I guess
god.
That's Christmassy. Yeah, I know. I'm branching out.
I thought you were going to say you had an Apollo 11 sweater that you got. You could be like Danny Torrance, but maybe that's an item that we have on our list.
They
we'll
do
find out.
Exactly.
They do make them. They do make them. Well, you just heard her to my left. Sammy, please introduce yourself and let us know whether you're in the swing of things that is Kingmas.
This is Sammy. Don't feed her after midnight.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Got to stick to my favorite Christmas movie. And I would say I'm totally in the Kingmas, just like Jen, but like this holiday season hasn't really felt like it started yet almost. I don't know if it's because we traveled at the beginning of November and then we got back. It just was like hard to get into that out of like Halloween and get into this spirit, but we put up our Halloween tree and that kind of gave us a little bit more cheer, and we put our stockings up last night. We watched our first Christmas movie, Nightmare Before Christmas, followed by the Peanuts movie, which you claimed is a Christmas movie.
It's kind of a Christmas movie. There's snow and then they kind of have some allusions to the Christmas Charlie Brown special, so I think it counts.
It helped get me in the spirit. I think once we watch that first Christmas movie, because we keep like, we're like, oh, it's not close enough yet. You know, we have to keep waiting until the end of the month, but then the end of the month comes and we haven't watched the movies.
Yeah.
So we watched our first set last night and it helped me get in the spirit a little bit.
Help you get in the spirit? Well, that's good. That's good. Well, I hope that this person is in the spirit, because I imagine where she's from, which is California, maybe a little hard to get in the Christmas spirit, or maybe not. Julia, please say hello. And tell us where you stand on Kingmas this year. And forgive me for assuming anything, but it seems like 2022 has been a very good year for you, is it not?
I am Julia. Brazil is the best Christmas movie, Marquesi.
Brazil!
Brazil is set at Christmas, and Brazil, I think most terrifyingly, is perhaps not in a perpetual Christmas where Christmas never stops, which like adds another layer to how crazy that would be. I love that movie.
It's so good. Yeah.
Put that on our list this month now.
Oh, please. People, and I know people like shove it off. I'm like, it is. There's a Santa Claus, there's a Christmas tree, like the whole gift giving, decorations, the whole bit. A little dark, but that's me.
It is very dark. It's funny you mentioned that, because like two Christmases ago during the pandemic, I was saying this feels like I'm in Brazil, because we were outside in the middle. Everyone acted like it was normal, even though it was 15 degrees out here. And they're like, oh, no, you could just dine outside still. And you have a little flame for you. And I was just shivering there eating pizza. And I was like, I feel like I'm in Brazil. Like this is, I feel, anyway, sorry. I did it,
guys. that's a bad sign when you feel like you're living in Brazil. That's not something that you should aspire to whatsoever. Christmas for me, it's hard because I feel like I'm stifled by the Christmas songs all month, like bombarded by them. I can't get away, because I cannot listen to them at home, obviously, but no matter what store I go to, like I can't help it. And they're so repetitive, because it's the same like 30 songs over and over. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, I'm okay with Christmas between for like 2 weeks beforehand. But when it starts in October, then you're like, oh, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like Santa Baby and the Christmas Shoes. Like, made me want to jump out a window.
When I worked at Starbucks, we had the Muppets Christmas soundtrack that played literally through my whole 8-hour shift, though.
Oh, no.
5 days a week. It was horrid.
I feel like if there was a song that would make me snap, it would be Feliz Navidad. There's something frantic about that song. I don't know what it is. Like, it makes me start to rage out.
It's a tough one. I think it reminds me of actually a Halloween situation we were in recently in Los Angeles, of all places. We were at Halloween Horror Nights, and in the Simpsons Land area, at night when it became Halloween Horror Nights, they changed it to like the Simpsons music that plays at the end of Treehouse of Horror episodes. It was like woo doo 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 doo. And at first I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, that's fun. And then in the span of 3 minutes, I heard it 4 times, and I was like, oh my god, like I feel so bad for the people that work here. And they have to hear it. And we asked the person that works at like the Quickie Mart, oh, so how is it working here? And you could just tell like he wanted to like kill everyone.
It's my least favorite land. I don't even like The Simpsons.
But it's just the idea of listening to something on loop over and over again. I mean, when I worked at Einstein Bagels, like, God, 20 years ago or something like that, if not longer, I remember hearing like every day without fail, I'd hear Every Morning by Sugar Ray. And then also I'm Like a Bird by Nelly Furtado. And I still get like Pavlovian responses to those songs. Like, they,
Sorry, okay, man. Condolences. So
where you are right now, though, 1 to 10, did you say what, where you're at with in Kingmas?
In Kingmas, I'm always an 11, man. Yeah. You know, my enthusiasm is unbound. I will, you know, you ask me to come talk to you about Stephen King, you'd understand that, like, this is what I want to get out, that people in my life just don't want to hear, that I'm like, yes, ask me these questions. I want to talk about them. So stoked.
Well, I'm glad you're here, because we got a lot of questions related to Cy King, as we say on this podcast sometimes. And I got to say, for me personally, I'm a little tired. I'm a little exhausted. I'm ready for sleep. Haven't been able to sleep for a little bit. So I guess I'm a little frozen Jack. You know, I'm sitting at the end. I keep thinking of Kubrick's The Shining. Apologies, Mr. King. But I'm just thinking of myself just sitting there, and when that moment where he falls and he's just like, fuck it. That's kind of where I'm at the end of the year right now. So maybe that'll change. I'm hoping it does, because I mean, we couldn't be in a merrier place. We are right now in Kingy Claw's workshop, and we're surrounded by Overlook printed wallpaper, or wrapping paper, I should say. We've got little tiny red balloons that the elves have assembled for us to stitch on to any of our presents that we're going to be coming up. So I better cheer up. I think we're all going to be in a cheery mood. But before we do that, let's talk about some Kingmas festivities. I got a couple of questions, many of which were thrown here by the panel themselves. So I'm going to do we can do round robin, you know, for a lot of these, but I think for the most part, just, you know, chime in, you know, where you see through. The first question is, we got to get through here. This is going to be specifically festivities. We'll get to the gifts soon. Just give us a little bit of time. We got the gifts coming. They're coming.
The party before you get the gifts.
You got to have the party before you come to the guests. It's like when you go to a birthday party, if it's your birthday party or someone's birthday party, we're all thinking about the gifts. But guess what? We also are thinking about the cake and what we're eating and who we're partying with. And so we got to lay out the land. So when it comes to Christmas parties in King's Dominion, which Stephen King character is throwing the best Christmas party? Julia, who are you going to?
Okay, I got three. I couldn't narrow it down even further. we got one. We got Eddie Dean's party.
I knew
that party would be out of control.
Yeah,
like it would be like somebody's house that's put it out for a punk rock party, and there's like a punk vibe in the backyard, like that kind of vibe. That would be fun. I think Richie Tozier would throw a fucking rad party.
Yeah.
Not to mention when he's out living in California in his like sweet, house, right? Yeah. And then I would like to go to a Randall Flagg party myself, because I think that would be the most debauched, perverted, sinful, amazing party I could think of.
So I need to go back, and it's been a while since we've read The Stand. Christmas happens in The Stand, doesn't it? Or is it towards the end after the fallout?
Yeah, I mean, it does.
Right?
It happens when Stu and Tom are coming back.
And they're watching
they're
like
stuck
Rambo?
In the hotel. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it is, but he like rigs up a projector abandoned
it's
hotel.
It's towards the end, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is like, actually, I forgot that is like, and that's, it's only happened in that one year. So Randall Flagg wouldn't have been able to throw a killer Las Vegas Christmas party. Right?
Well, I'm from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So already like that, you know, so that's already home, feels nice.
Now, are we talking right. Alexander Skarsgård as Flag? Because I would go to that party.
I mean, this is just my imaginary in my head Flag. You know, I don't give him a.
My imaginary in my head Flag is Alexander Skarsgård.
Was it before though? Before 2020, was it Alexander Skarsgård?
No, it wasn't. Right. It was Jamie Sheridan.
Yeah. Okay. So Christmas in Vegas. What were some memories that you have, Julia, from that time? Was it like,
oh, my dad is the cutest dad in the entire world, and he would do treasure hunts for us.
Aww.
So you would open all your presents, and then the last one, would there be a card on the tree, and there would be clues that would send you around the house to find your present at the end. It was really adorable, like little rhymes. Can you imagine?
So
it's the cutest.
Cute.
That's really cute. Yeah, and it's usually warm, or it got cooler probably.
No, it gets cold.
It gets cold. Okay. Yeah, not where I was thinking like, oh, it could be like Miami, where it's like, you know, I've been boogie boarding on Christmas Day when not the
case. Would be in the 20s or 30s.
Holy shit.
Really?
Okay, so you are freezing.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it gets cold.
Okay. Well,
Sacramento doesn't get that cold.
Let's keep it. Let's keep it West Coast. Where are you going in King's Dominion for Christmas party, Sammy?
I was thinking Jake and Sadie's house. Oh. I feel like they would throw a super nice, like well catered Christmas party.
Yeah,
like a classic Christmas party. No one's dying, you know.
Maybe some pound cake there.
There could be some pound cake.
Or no, literal, not metaphorical. Yeah,
you might catch the eye of some cute teacher.
Yeah,
I just think it would be. I'm getting out alive. Essentially, is what I was thinking of.
Unless they're, you know. Well, we haven't gotten there yet, so I can't spoil too much. But let's say that Sadie knows some folks that you don't want to show up at the Christmas party, you know?
Well, but they're not coming, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is my dream party. They're not
coming. It's like Mad Men Christmas. You
okay.
Know?
That's exactly how I pictured it.
I could see that, yeah.
Like, they'd have a bar cart, you know, and she'd, like, make all those weird, like, 50s housewife, like, dishes, you know?
Oh,
like,
nothing in aspic, though. That's the nastiest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw, like, a picture recently of something from an old, like, 50s cookbook, and it was, like, frozen jellied SpaghettiOs.
Sticking
out of
it. Gelatining things.
So strange.
I never really got into that, really. I do love Jello, as my man Bankman says.
Savory Jello? How do you think about that?
Not going to happen.
It's like cat food.
Yeah, I remember my grandmother who passed away earlier this year. She was from the Depression era. And she would always freeze everything. And one of the things I remember her freezing vividly is when the Jell-O used to come in that weird prong sort of container that was, I don't know why they made them that way, but maybe it was easy to get them out. Like, they looked like a GAC container. But I remember opening up the fridge all the time and just wondering, like, gosh, how old is that? Is that Jell-O older than I am? Like, has it been here for 4 years? Like, it might have been. I don't know. Jen, Christmas, we were celebrating in King's Dominion.
Okay, I got two. Well, I'll be quick. The first one, though, I think it would be really fun to go to the first day of Larry Underwood's party that he has.
I was thinking
makes
of
all
Underwood.
Of that money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to stay too long because it sounds like it gets a little out of control. But I am going to an office party, and it is the Boulder Free Zone Committee's holiday party.
You would
see this is the difference between you and me, Jen. You're like, oh, Boulder City. I'm like, nah, Las Vegas is the way to go.
Oh man, no, I would just. That would be so much fun. We could have dramatic readings of the notes.
I was going to say, you're going to type up the notes and
exactly,
be like Peggy.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to like party and mingle and just like ad hoc committee. Anything?
Yeah,
exactly. It's like bylaws.
Did you hear the meeting last week? It was pretty good.
Exactly. Yeah. Riveting.
I'm surprised no one said DeCalorin, which is my choice.
Yeah.
If you think about it, he's no stranger to parties. And also having, you know, not only worked at the Overlook, but also the Time and Dairy. But the food, I mean, come on, the food would be great. I like drinking at Christmas parties. I like partying and talking. I got to have some good food. And I know that Dick is going to make some great stuff. And not to plug again, Castle Rock Kitchen, but let's plug Castle Rock Kitchen. There's a recipe in there for Dick Halloran's baked beans. And I'm waiting anxiously to make them so I could feel like I'm at Halloran's Christmas party. Because you know that.
Well, then you have to make them for Christmas, right? That's the answer.
That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do it, and then I'm gonna put it on Instagram. So everyone, hold me to it. You're gonna, I'm gonna make sure I have to do it.
Well, and we've seen the pantry and like freezer at the Overlook.
Oh yeah,
it's stacked.
It would be great.
Mm-hmm. So we got lots of food.
Yeah. Well,
and then he goes on a vegetable run when he's in Florida too, and he's like talking about all the produce he's getting.
He's getting some good stuff.
Shit.
He knows the stuff.
Farmers market.
It's not gonna be like last night when I ordered hummus and they gave me two straws of carrots and then also
some celery
that looked like it was from somebody else's buffalo wings 3 days ago. I was very pissed. I guess that that leads to our next question.
And now that will live forever. That hummus that you didn't like will be
online. I know, this sitting in my refrigerator, and I just tried it before I got on this episode, and I was like, oh, this is just not good.
Okay, well, when you put hummus with seasonal vegetables, and all you give me is two carrot sticks and the rest celery,
I'm going to be bummed about it. It's not good. That's why
I heard somebody describe celery as like, biting into water with hair in it.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah.
Well, although I do destroyed like celery for me. I like celery when we have some hot wings because it's like a nice little wave.
Oh, yeah.
Making me think I'm still eating something healthy.
It's a good
vehicle
for that ranch, too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm more of a blue cheese guy. I'm going to be honest.
No. I am so obsessed with ranch dressing that when I lived in the UK, I made my parents ship me bottles of ranch.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't live without it. I was like, no. Because they don't, you know, in England, they only have one dressing, right? They have salad cream, and that's it. But I love you.
That doesn't sound appetizing.
Yeah. Wait, what was the, isn't there, I remember there was a ranch dressing that I was really obsessed with, not to get too much on a tangent, but there was like, it's like orange.
Hidden
almost,
Valley?
It's
Chipotle, spicy.
Yeah. Oh my God. The spicy ranch. It's great. It's so good. It's good stuff.
Ranch on pizza. That's it for me.
I like ranch on pizza. That's bad.
That's a Las Vegas thing, actually.
Is it really?
Oh, really? Uh-huh.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Okay. Well, you mentioned going to Flags Vegas, but where, specifically where would you want to spend Christmas Eve? Maybe not a Christmas party. Christmas parties happen sometimes 2 days, two days, 2 weeks, sometimes even a month beforehand. Where on Christmas Eve, right before the big day, are you going to spend in King's Dominion, Sammy?
Jade of the Orient.
Oh,
you get Chinese food on Christmas or Christmas Eve. Yeah. I feel like it'd be so nice in there. I've been there, so they have amazing Mai Tais. Yeah. It's super cute and lit in there, and I would love to spend Christmas Eve there.
That's a really good answer.
I know.
That didn't even occur to me with the Chinese food. Okay.
But you sit in the room with the table and do the
exactly.
whole bit.
Yeah. I'm trying to pick places I'm not going to die at.
Yeah, although you could kind of reminisce. Like, hey, remember like 30 years ago when the Losers Club had a fucking nightmare here.
Right.
But they
just
all made it
open
out.
Your fortune cookies.
Yeah. The waitress comes over and it's like, we don't talk about that. Sorry.
Another Mai Tai, please.
Yeah. Another Mai Tai, please.
They're huge. Too,
yeah.
For anyone
they
who
are
goes
very
there.
Nice.
Yes.
But
they
I love
very
how
fancy Shirley Temples also.
They did.
Which I was very excited about.
I love Shirley Temples. They're, no shame. Hashtag no shame.
Hey, exactly.
I have a little stick of sugar in it.
I had a crush on Shirley Temple when I was little.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and my parents had to be like, before your time, Mike.
It's like Charlie Brown, the little redhead girl.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. Julia, where on Christmas Eve are you going?
I don't think you could do better than Gilead at the height of its fame and glory.
Ooh, yeah.
Because you can imagine the party, that kind of party, right? Can you imagine going to a fairy tale kind of banquet, gowns, masquerade, nonsense party? That sounds like chef's kiss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
During like winter solstice, like all the cool color. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And the music and the food.
Have you ever gone to a huge gathering like that for any holidays like this? Because I know that like, you know, they've got Ren fairs. We've got, you know, huge 4th of July celebrations sometimes. But like Christmas, like, have you ever gone to like a huge, like almost like winter festival in a way like that?
Well, they have here Labyrinth Ball here in L.A., which is basically supposed to be the masquerade ball that she goes to in Labyrinth, which is every girl's dream on the planet. Yeah. And people dress and, you know, create incredible costumes, you know, inspired by that. And then at midnight they play As the World Falls Down and everybody dances and they, you know, they have all these, you know, people doing fire and doing all these stunts. It's really incredible.
Do they have, I imagine there's like 30 Jareths there.
You're competing Jareths.
Yeah. Okay.
His pants are the time.
I mean, you have to go as Jareth, but okay. That's a good one. All right, Jen, where are you going to spend Christmas Eve?
I think I want to go to Sidewinder. I want to go somewhere snowy, you know, so I would love to be in Colorado, but I don't want to be at the Overlook because, you know, I'm with Sammy. Like, I want to survive this Christmas. But I think, you know, the guy that gives him the mittens, Harold Cottrell, I believe his name is, he seems like a nice guy. I think his wife would probably make me a nice stew, you know, it seems like it would be fun.
I love a good stew.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Honestly, like, you and Annie Wilkes, I feel like, you know, you could
that was my other option. I was like, what I want.
You're not her favorite author, you know, so maybe she won't
kill
you.
Exactly. If you catch her in a good mood, I feel like we listen to some Liberace, you know.
Yeah, it could be good. I mean,
it's fun.
Champagne's
have some hot
covered,
cocoa,
but, you know.
Right. Pet the pig.
Yeah.
Do a little laughing.
I'm going to go on the opposite side and ensure that I don't get axed or, you know, hobbled or any. So I think I'm going to go with Johnny Smith.
Nice.
Right after he's... at least according to the film, it's been a while since I read the book. I don't think in the book they actually ever copulate. I can't remember. But after, I believe Sarah visits, they share Christmas together. And at least in the movie, I don't think it's in the book. I think they just smushed that together in the movie. But, that's where I'm spending some time with Johnny Smith. I'll be like, hey, look, it's fine. You'll get back on the wagon again. Things are great. You know, in terms of getting with another girl, not back in the way, but you'll get out there again. You'll
back
meet someone else.
Feet.
You'll get back on your feet. Sarah's married.
Game.
Walt seems like a good guy. But we're going to find another one for you. And, you know, we'll cut the turkey together and stuff. So
if only that's how it ended.
What a compassionate and unexpected answer.
You know, just try to, it helps that I do love the Dead Zone. So I'm,
it's his favorite.
You know, and also spending time in Castle, like at least outside of Castle Rock would be kind of nice. Maybe like we go to Castle Rock and get some dinner later on. I don't know.
You going to go ice skating with him though?
Oh yeah, maybe. But he doesn't like the ice, so
you know, but he can tell you if the ice is going to break.
Yeah, exactly,
that is true.
You know where you can go.
Yeah, and we certainly won't go to any rec calls that have like you know the lightning salesmen that screw everything up. Also, yeah. So
stay away from Greg Stilson. You know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of lightning salesmen who have big bags, this is the clumsiest segment. I'm going
to
go with it.
I'll give it to you.
Which character in King's Dominion would make the worst Santa Claus, Jen?
He is my least favorite of all of Stephen King's characters, my most hated villain. It is Big Jim Rennie.
Yes, that's what I
fucking hate
also.
That guy.
Yep. But here's the thing. Couldn't you see him playing a Santa at his dealership?
Yeah, he seems like the kind of guy who wanders around a bank dressed like Santa Claus, but he's just the worst Santa Claus
ever. He's
bad
Santa.
He's bad
exactly.
Santa.
Yeah, has like low energy and he's just kind of a dick and, you know, he makes you give, I don't know, he feels like he would like, I don't know, expect weird things for
come
Christmas.
On to you.
There would be
you know.
Sexual harassment galore at Rennie's dealership for sure. Certainly the worst Santa Claus I could think of, which is why I had him once also. So, it was funny. After I finished, I was like, I bet you Jen's going to have this. Sammy, worst Santa Claus.
That didn't change your answer.
No,
it's
no.
It's not like when you go to a restaurant and your friend's like, I want to order the same thing as you. And you're like, dude, it's loud. It's fine, man. We can order the same.
Especially if there's four. If it's two, I can't do the same dish.
Yeah, we don't
do it. We can't
do
the same dish because it's got to be at least like, at least three. Because then there's got to be some variation.
Well, I like to try his and he likes to try mine.
Exactly.
If we both get the same thing, I can't.
I have seen you two order together too, and it's very like consultation-y, you know?
There's a lot of thought being put into it.
We put a lot of thought into it, and certainly we usually aim for the same thing, but most of the time, it's just surprising.
Sometimes you get two meals, because then you can eat off of each other's plate.
Well, that's what I like to do. That's why Super Bowl Sunday is my favorite holiday, not because I like football, but because there's all the finger foods, and I can try everything.
It's true.
Appetizers are what we eat before we eat.
Love Appy.
More hungry.
It's very true. Okay,
we're I went opposite of like, it's still someone I like, but I think that they would not be a good Santa is Eddie. I think it would be like Jesse Pinkman as Santa, you know?
Okay.
Santa, bitch.
Yeah. Okay.
It just wouldn't work for me, you know? But
it'd
I also had Roland like at first and I was like, actually, you know what? I think he would be a good Santa.
Yeah. I mean, he's very kind.
Yeah.
So he actually could be like a good one.
Like Roland, we don't want Popkins for Christmas. No.
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, do you?
So wait, do we know what like Popkins are supposed to be like a blueberry thing?
They're
right?
Like sandwiches, right?
Sandwiches?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What was is there
like I always pictured like a Yorkshire pudding, like is what I pictured. Like a pop over kind of.
Yeah. It's better than the burrito.
I think it's more of a sandwich.
Yeah, the Gunslinger burrito I always thought of like is like when I was little and we used to just make sandwiches out of like the palm fronds or something like that or like, you know,
well,
big giant leaves.
Don't they talk about wrapping the lobstrosity meat in the leaves?
Yeah. Is that what bugs and weird stuff.
We are all three like Dark Tower experts too. So
we are
like
absolutely experts
back.
Here when it comes
Julia,
to Dark
I'm
Tower.
Sure you probably school us on all this.
Oh no, it's just jerky, I think. It's like dried meat. And like whatever greens they can find.
No, that's not bad. That's actually not bad. If it's not lobstrosities, I'll be fine. Because I imagine my allergies would probably translate to the lobstrosities. I imagine.
Honestly, I'd probably eat a lobstrosity.
You probably would eat a lobstrosity. Honestly, you and Jen both. Wait, Jen, did you have a lobster roll when we were?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Of she did.
Okay, so you
was
both
the
have
other person that was advocating for the lobster buoy with me.
Okay. Did you go to the lobster buoy, Julia? When you were there?
I ate a lot of lobster rolls because they're delicious. And I like they don't skimp on the lobster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just watched everyone. I just had coleslaw. I think that was my.
Oh,
my
that's
joke
right.
For a
yeah,
while.
I think you ate everybody's coleslaw.
Yeah, that lasted for 2 days before I was like, all right, I'm coleslawed out. Julia, where's Santa Claus for you?
Okay, so I have a human one and a supernatural one. So who
Ooh,
human?
Nice.
We have Jack Torrance, would make terrible Santa. Either kind of guys. Even when you start out with him. He's still, I know, because he has the thing with the kid at the school, the interaction, right, that gets him fired. So he's already got some, like, rage going on even when we begin any before the Overlook gets pulled into it. So I think in no form would he be good. But even worse, Pennywise, the fucking dancing clown, would be the worst.
Yeah.
He's going to be showing the kids all the things they fear and then, like, sucking it joyfully out of them.
Oh, yeah. Like a job. Yeah. The kids stalking in the line coming up to him, he'd just be sucking all of their joy from them.
Well, it'd be a lot like you mentioned the movie earlier, but Nightmare Before Christmas. But like if, you know, Jack does that not knowing, he thinks he's doing something good by just kind of throwing these little tricks and treats everywhere around the Christmas land. Pennywise, he knows what he's doing. And that's what it would be like, probably.
Mm-hmm. He would sign up for that job in a heartbeat.
Oh, he would.
Just send him all over.
None of us would survive.
Easy energy. Easy energy. Mm. Okay. One last question, the festivities. This is one that this is a big thinking question, because I think this takes a lot of effort to really appropriately nail. If Stephen King wrote a book centered around Santa Claus. Now, remember, we did 10 Christmas stories here on this very podcast. We did it last year. Actually a couple years ago, and then we unlocked it, I think. No, we did it last. Well, anyway.
Who knows?
We've done it on this podcast. You can find it. We're probably going to be promoting it all month long. But as you'll know from reading that or listening to that episode, King doesn't have a traditional Christmas or Santa Claus story. So if King did write a book centered around Santa Claus, what would the plot be? Julia, you're the one that threw this out here, so I'm going to go with you first. What is the story that you want King to write?
Well, I am a very big Richard Bachman fan. So my idea would be to have it be like a Rage or Roadwork-esque character study of a Santa Claus's descent into madness over the month of December, where he is working at the mall playing Santa. So it's nice. Just like all in his head of like how it's all descending into whatever, you know, and, you know, ends with some sort of catastrophe at the end, right? You know, burning them all down or hostage situation or something terrible. That would be
that's the best answer. Because it's specifically mall Santa, right? It's not.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I like an idiot thought it had to be the real Santa Claus. And I'm like wrapping my, but the funny thing is that I was thinking Bachman too, but I was thinking like, I was thinking him like almost kind of like, it would be like Violent Night, the new one that just came out with David Harbour, Stranger Things. And it would be something along those lines, but like 80s Bachman, where it could be like chummy, fast and loose with like big metaphors. I think for me to like, if it was strictly King, it would have to be like King, like again, I went with has to be like literally Santa Claus. I think the idea of the descent is pure Bachman, and I think that I actually see that totally working now. I'm surprised he didn't do it.
Cy King, the idea is there to you.
You know, go
sir.
For it. You know,
do
go
with
make
it what you
Bachman.
Will.
You said the descent, and it immediately made me think of the movie, which then made me think that like in when they go cave splunking, it's all just killer Santas down there.
I would watch the shit out of that.
I would too.
I'm now imagining the scene in Nightmare Before Christmas where Santa is trying to get through like the hole. Or like locked rock and barrels are trying to get through, throw him in there. But he's like, but it's like the scene in The Descent where like, where they get stuck, or, you know, the girl gets stuck in like the, it's like right in the early beginning part. It's actually the scariest part of the movie for me is when she gets stuck in the hall. The hole. I'm just imagining Santa just being like, oh, I can't get out of here.
Well, yeah, because that movie's scary even before the monsters come in.
It is.
I kind of wish there weren't monsters. I feel like you just don't need them. They're superfluous to like already the claustrophobia and stuff.
If there's one thing Santa's I can't wrap my head around, it's splunking. That's for sure.
Yeah, oh no,
that's
gonna happen. No, never doing that.
Wait, so
I have two fears in my life. So sorry, I got two fears. I got caves. I got bugs. That's it.
Yeah, and they're both in caves.
I know.
Yeah.
Caves are. But yeah, bugs.
That is true. Yeah. Well, I'm. You know, I actually went on a Groupon and got us all classes. You know,
perfect.
Where is it? Where's the December?
We're all going to die.
Yeah, we're going to go
it's
there.
It's in like West Virginia, so it's like in my neck of the woods.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll go there. You have a lot of caves near you, Jen, though, right?
We do, yeah. And like in sixth grade, we went to a place in Kentucky called Mammoth Cave for like place, and we fucking spent the night in this cave.
Oh.
Like, I still can't believe I did this, but like we all had to. It was hard.
But you would
last thing.
You would 100% stay where like the Bellwitch Cave is, though, right?
Oh fuck yeah,
yeah.
Because we're related.
You're coup d'etat, yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah, I the Adams name for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
do you have your story?
So I had two. Because I was doing the same thing as you, like it had to be real Santa.
Yeah.
So I was thinking kind of like the Dark Half, but it's like two Santas.
Ooh.
Naughty
and nice Santa.
Exactly. Oh. Yes. Like two different sides of Santa, you know, and then like one maybe like dies or something, and he has to like take kind of like the Santa Claus where he has to take his place, but they all think he's the other Santa. Thinking that, and then I was also thinking like The Stand, but instead of like Randall Flagg and Mother Abigail, it's Santa and Krampus.
Oh,
yeah. It's like the North Pole, right. And so it's them against each other. So
maybe Adam Scott shows up, you know?
I would be totally fine with that. And the little teddy bear from Krampus that's evil, I love that guy.
Okay. Those are good. It's like if we had a Stephen King streaming service and they did like a holiday special and they did like, they took the big stories and they like,
and they asked me specifically what I thought they should do.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm in there. Jen, what's your Santa Claus Stephen King book?
Okay, so mine is a little bit Santa Claus adjacent. He's not going to come in till towards the end of the story. And I have to lower my voice a little bit because I don't want my kids to hear this. Because mine is about a creature that showed up in our house on December 1st and probably many other houses to our listeners that are listening. It's the Elf on the Shelf. Mm. And he is somewhere in my house right now lurking. And I made the mistake of this kid showing up in my son's room, and he was afraid to go to sleep that night because he was like, I don't want the elf to move while I'm sleeping. And I was like, that's really fucking creepy. So like, if you don't know what an Elf on the Shelf is, it's like you say, hey, look, Snowball sees you not cleaning up your room, so he's going to go tell Santa. But the elf moves every night. And so one horror is that you have to remember to do this. Yeah. Like, and people get all creative about these Elf on the Shelf things. Like, I've seen like chainsaw elves or like elves that are like puking in the toilet or something. Ours just moves a couple of feet. But anyway, so I was thinking the whole thing is like, if you touch the elf, then he'll lose his magic. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking, what if this elf loses his magic one day? And then before he can get his magic back, he gets evil magic. And so he becomes an evil Elf on the Shelf. And then Santa has to come and save the day because he starts to bring all of his evil elf friends.
Okay. I imagine the evil elf is kind of like the weird little troll thing from Cat's Eye.
Really, maybe bring him back. We could finally bring him into King's Dominion even further.
Please,
you know? Clovis comes back to save the day.
That scene is one of the peak of cinema. That scene. Mm-hmm.
I saw it for my first time like a couple of years ago, and I was scared.
Yeah,
he scared me.
Well, it would add some more weight.
Little
to that
critters,
chapter.
Though, like scary critters, freak me out.
Well, I always laugh because it's like Cat's Eye is just filled with all of his like short stories from, you know, the smut rags and stuff. And
that's what it feels like.
And so then you get to the elf one and you're like, wait, what? This seems like it was cut from like Hallmark or something like that. And at least, you know, a darker version of Hallmark. But, all great ideas. And King, if you're listening, you got free ideas here. That's what we do here on these pods. We give some great sound advice. Remember that store? Christmas time, I used to go to Sound Advice all the time with my friends.
Blumhouse has already reached out to me for mine, so I don't know about you guys.
That is true.
What if we got like a different Christmas seasons book where like each of the novellas was our story we just pitched?
That'd be cool.
Dedicated to the losers.
You know, here's another free idea. Why didn't we do more seasons? I mean, we get seasons every year. You could easily do like different seasons too, you know? And have another one. Like another one that's based solely on the seasons. Maybe shake it
this
up.
This time
a little
it's
bit.
Personal.
Yeah, but every winner is another one from the breathing method game.
Oh yeah,
that'd like be cool.
The kid gets a little older.
Yeah,
it actually fits the seasons too. Like, because we just watched After People, I had never seen it, and I was like, what season does this have to do with?
So it's supposed to be summer, so it's So I mean, I
summer
guess,
of discontent.
Yeah,
it's because when they first meet, he's on summer break.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, and then I guess technically, if you think about it, Stand By Me is reminiscing during the fall. And then also, I mean, it takes place on Labor Day weekend, so.
But I always thought that was summer because I've not read.
Well,
it does feel more like summer, I think.
Yeah.
So I've got a bone to pick.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of things to pick here because we've got our gifts to finally put together, and I think we've all pretty much set the tone with what we do in King's Dominion. So why don't we get down to business? So we're all in the Kingmas spirit. And I'll admit, the ice, remember I was saying I was frozen Jack? Ice is starting to melt. I'm thinking a little bit.
Is it going to break?
It's going to break, you know? So I can't think of a better time now than to start working on our gifts. So we've got four rounds ahead of us. We're going to round robin it as we're wont to do here on these shows. We'll go Jen, Sammy, Julia and myself, and then we'll snake our way back. So first round, we are looking for real piece of King merch, something that actually exists. So in a way, you can kind of see this as a Losers Club Stephen King gift guide, if you would say, in this first round. So Jen, what is a real piece of King merch?
I like how you're emphasizing real, because last year I think I asked for pyrokinesis, which is not real.
Oh, so. It's not real. No,
that would be
no.
good though. Just the full. You want to go the full Shining if you're going to do it though, and then you can just add all that power.
That was the weirdest look. I think kill all of you. No, I'm normally. I'm
getting
really
too
nice
excited.
Person.
You know. I know. I know that there have been scientific studies that suggest that there could be pyrokinesis, but let's not get too serious here, Jen.
I'll be the one to prove it. Yeah, so, look for that in the future.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I think, I'm not really one to want to read a rough draft or like an original manuscript, but I think that I would really love to read the original manuscript of Firestarter. So I think that would be mine. Okay. Like a nice bound copy, maybe sign it a little bit, but I would love that.
It's somewhere out there, right? Like
it has to be.
Unless he threw it away.
You know, I do wonder about like these things of like he has to have some storage, and knowing him, it's probably like a bunch of those plastic bins that you just go buy at like Home Depot,
right.
And it's just filled with these treasures that everyone would love. Yeah, like it's just somewhere in the attic or whatever. That's a good one, Sammy. What's a real piece of merch you want?
Well, so I'm assuming it's real, obviously, because I've seen him wear it. But you know the Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap shirt that he wore on the Maximum Overdrive, like behind the scenes stuff, like whenever he was filming? I want that t-shirt.
It's got to be somewhere, it's got so worn out.
I love that t-shirt. And I would like something he wore.
Yeah.
I want custom shoes if you want to do that design.
Oh, well, here you go.
And I had no idea that that's what the lyrics were, until I saw the shirt. And I was like, oh, that's what it is.
Yeah. At that point, everyone on the set's like, is he really going to go with all the AC/DC songs for the whole movie? Like, is that a joke?
And it really paid off.
And it really paid me off. Julia, real piece of merch.
So I would like to have, or just read, really. There is a script that he wrote for I Know What You Need as part of a pitch of doing a night shift series in the late 1970s to see, because I don't know, I know the script that I wrote. I want to see the script that he wrote, because that's going to be amazing. So that I would just like that. It really exists. It's at the University of Maine, but you need his specific permission to read it.
Oh, wow.
So if you could choose, would you rather direct the script that you wrote, or would you rather direct the script he wrote, sight unseen, of not being able to read her? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it does. The one that he wrote.
Would you?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be
because I have, I have bridge scenes in the film that I'm nervous about, because I was can people tell that it's not him anymore? Can people tell that it's my writing now? Being side by side is terrifying. So he knows what he's doing. Let him do it. Give me that screenplay and let me go to town.
It would be interesting to see how similar they are too,
Or how different.
You should be allowed to read it.
I think so too.
If anyone should be allowed to read it, you should be the one
making the definitive adaptation of that story too, Like when I think of that story now, I see an ice cream cone from
me too.
The, logo,
the pink.
You know?
Yeah. 100%. I love the font.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I say you just go in and just, go take it like Ocean's 11 style.
Just guns blazing,
Like National Treasure.
It's like Dog Day Afternoon. I'm just going to take the entire library hostage.
Hey, we'll make the distraction for you. Okay,
I'm good at that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
God, Attica, you're like standing outside. All right. Well, I had to go to the dead zone again. We spent so much time this year talking about the film with Gretchen Folker Martin, and just had so much fun time, talking about that movie that I kind of want Johnny's Jacket. And I want his cane. I want the screen used jacket and cane. And it's got to be somewhere out there. It's in some storage. And I think it would be pretty cool. I'd probably look like a neckbeard walking around with it. And everyone would be like, what the hell is this
problem?
So
says the guy who has Steve Harrington's jacket, the Drive jacket, Eric Foreman's jacket.
No, it reminds me of when I remember listening to an interview with Matthew Weiner of Mad Men. And he was just like, oh, yeah, when I was little, when I was a teen in L.A., I'd be walking around with like a long jacket and a cane. And I remember just being like, oh, God, like that must have been insufferable outfit in the world. But I would want that. I would want the jacket and the cane. and in the winter here, I think it would be kind of cool.
And it would make you feel so good that it would give you some mad swagger as well.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And also protect me from the ice.
I'd have to get some major competition if the girls of Chicago saw that.
Yeah. Well, look, what can I say? All right. Next round. We're going to be looking at a Kingian gift you'd like to see made. Now, this is where we have to do some work. This is something that doesn't exist, and that's something that we have to make exist. So we're sneaking this around, so it's I'll bite. So a few weeks ago, maybe even a week ago, I don't know what time is anymore, I saw someone make someone built a custom Lego set, and it was of the Overlook, and it was trending, and everyone shared it, and it's unbelievable. We retweeted it. Our buddy Kyle Cooper, he sent it to me ASAP and was like, you got to share, this is incredible. Whoever made this put like lights in it and everything. Well, that's what I want. I love Legos. I want an immersive Lego set of the Overlook. I don't know if you've ever seen the Hogwarts set or the Death Star set. They are just so impressive, and they're so multi-layered. They have everything in there from all of the movies and scenes that you could remember. I want that. I want it for the Overlook, where you get all the rooms, all the figures. Maybe you can put some custom lighting in there. Maybe it comes with it. I used to love it when you kind of have like maybe a little electricity, like one of those little batteries, like with the Lionel trains used to have. Anyway, make it take 2-3 months to put it together. It'll keep me busy during the winter. Be fitting. That's what I want. So I'm putting that out there. I hope that Lego saw that trending tweet, and they're like, we should get in the horror genre a little bit more.
They should.
I need it.
Yeah.
I want this set. I want this giant set. I would put it on top of my vinyl shelf. I would look at it all the time. And maybe I'd get a little sweet and think about a life inside the Overlook.
Would it have a little tiny playground that looks like the Overlook, but like just even smaller with Lego?
Yes. And then it would also have, because we're going to be talking a little bit about the book with this, we would also have the weird pipe thing that Danny feels the monster presence.
Okay, so now hedge maze or
that's what I was just about
animals.
To say.
Yeah.
Hedge maze.
Why choose, right?
Exactly.
Both.
Yeah. Both. Hedge maze in the back, the animals in the front.
I would like to have the detail of the wasp's nest.
I could see
a couple of shingles like falling off.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe even the attic too, where Halloran felt the presence there as well. Be kind of cool. Although we'll say the sexual depravity would probably be hard to put in a Lego set. Might
you
be
put
hard.
In the instructions.
Yeah. Jesus, you know, maybe they could have an R-rated Lego club.
We need to have the bear guy, right? The bear
he's
guy.
Gotta be
sex bear.
Right?
With
yes.
Lego penis.
Yeah,
my buddy.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, listen.
All right.
It's got the little circle on the top just for so connecting. Dirty.
All right. We're pumping the brakes. So I'm dropping the axe, or actually the mallet. Julia, what are you making in Kingsman here?
I am a Converse junkie and have been since I was a kid. And so I would love a Stephen King line of Converse. Now, of course, I'm sure they have Shining Converse with the wallpaper, and I'm sure they have Pennywise and the whole bit. But I'm like, the one that I want, this is so gruesome. This is why you invite me on, though, as I want a pair of Long Walk Converse all bloody on the bottom.
That would be awesome. Super cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I think that would be so cool.
Doesn't he describe it as like, it's like almost look like spaghetti tendrils or something like that? Look like
horrible.
That.
Yeah. And I know that one of the rules in the Long Walk is specifically don't wear sneakers. They tell you not to.
It's like moccasins, right?
Yeah. Or you could also have like the Tommyknockers, where you could have that special green, or, you know, like more of the deep cut kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because come on. We know The Shining. I mean, look, I said The Shining for my piece, but The Shining in it, it's been done before. I like that idea. Yeah, some green Tommyknocker shoes would be cool. Converse, get on this. Free ideas. I'm telling you, I'm going to tag Lego and Converse for this episode.
We should trademark this episode.
We should.
And I will be the model for all of them. Just send me the samples and I will be the girl. Like, I have dreamed my whole life of being a Converse girl. So here we are.
That'd be great.
I love Chucks. They're
Converse
my favorite.
King. Yeah.
Well, what are you dreaming up?
So I think we should have like a Stephen King cosmetics line. You know how like they have all of like the Harry Potter lines or like superheroes. So if we had like a Castle Rock cosmetics line where instead of like I have a lipstick that's called Unicorn Blood, we could have Pig's Blood and it's like Carrie.
Ah, uh-huh.
And then like a bronzer, it's like Cujo's bronzer and it's the shape of a paw and it has like a little like paw brush in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or like Church's cat eyeliner, stuff like that. Ooh. You know, I think for the makeup wearing constant listeners and readers, it would be super, super cool.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Actually, I'm surprised they haven't done that. At least for like it. Like you'd think like, you know.
Clown makeup.
Or like horror, you know, thing. Like Sephora or Ulta should get on that.
Yeah. Well, look.
Totally.
We're tagging Ulta too. So let's remember that. So we got, to recap, Lego, Converse, Ulta.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, are you rounding us out here? What are you
I choosing? Am, yeah. Okay, so I've got one real win and one kind of cheat. So I was trying to, because I have a horror tree in my office now, and so I was looking for Stephen King ornaments, and there is a shocking lack of Stephen King-themed ornaments. I found a lot of It ones, and I would like a line of, like, Hallmark ornaments, but, like, for Stephen King characters, like Carrie with the blood on her, Charlie, of course, with her hair blowing, you know.
I actually have a Stephen King ornament. I know that listeners, you can't see this behind me here on my shelf. And it says red, it's glass. So it says red rum on one side and murder on the other side.
Ooh.
So you can flip it around.
Nice.
We could also do like Annie's penguin that's turned the wrong way.
That was one of my ideas like, for something to make too, was the penguin.
The
I
penguin.
Love the
Oh,
penguin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, go for it.
Well, my fake one is a thing that I'm just going to will into existence. So it is a physical copy of a movie that Karen Kusama is going to make for Mrs. Todd Shortcut. I want the DVD. I would do anything to get this movie made. I don't even really care who directs it. I just want this movie.
Okay.
So. Well, Karen Kusama is pretty cool. So.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, that would be a hell of a director for that. I want more auteurs in these major blockbusters. So, you know, just bring them in. Mm-hmm. Well, these are fun. I like this. So, all right. So to recap one more time, we're going to be tagging Lego, Converse, Ulta, and Hallmark.
And if you can find Hallmark.
And Karen Kusama.
Yeah. And Karen Kusama.
Karen Kusama.
If she's on socials, who knows?
Oh, she listens, you know?
You know? Sure. Yeah. Well, let's hope.
Fan of the pod.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We got our next two. Now, these next two rounds are for what we're going to give our constant readers. And they're going to be gifts from King's Dominion. And look, when it comes to the holidays, you got some naughty folks and we got some nice folks. We're going to start with the naughty. What is a terrifying gift from King's Dominion that should only be given to naughty constant readers? Jen, you're still up to bat.
All right. Again, I'm sorry. I have two. So the first one is called the Annie Wilkes Special, where it is your favorite King's book. Favorite book of King. It could be Bachman too. And you get a special edition copy, but it is made with your own skin. Because that was going to be the original ending of the book.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like a Necronomicon.
Yeah.
But then my second one, I have recently discovered that cats like to climb Christmas trees.
They do.
And
they
even
almost ruined yours.
They have, one of our trees looks like the tree from Whoville because they have just destroyed it. So I'm going to send, so if that's like what sweet, innocent little kittens do to trees, I could only imagine what church would do to Christmas trees. So I'm going to be sending church over to destroy all of the Christmas trees of the Naughty Constant Readers.
Is this like pre-truck church?
Oh, no, this is post? Like evil from the dead, post-cemetery church.
Well, I don't
and
know
he can multiply, so
that.
He can have like little kittens that go.
Oh,
are also evil.
That's something that we never thought about. With the
I know.
Can you copulate and have you know children and stuff?
Well, that's, and he does. We know he gets neutered in the book,
yeah, that's
but
true.
I bet. It
but
could
he's reborn.
Grow
back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
could grow
true.
Back under there.
You know? Oh God, it's a
sometimes they
a
come
terrifying
back.
Thought. That sometimes they do come back, and sometimes dead is better. Is the constant reader that gets that naughty. Gift is going to learn. Sammy, what's your lump of coal in King's Dominion?
A gift card to Needful Things.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
you think
good.
It's great. You think, oh my
it's
God.
So cool.
Store?
You're thinking it's right. rad. You go in, you have $100 to spend.
Like,
you
I need
look
all
at
these
all the
things.
Antiques. Yes, but you don't know.
Yeah.
You know? So then you get you buy all this shit that's called cursed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we only saw that Leland Gaunt, I should say, would make you get one thing. But if you had a gift card and this is a, you know, he sees an opportunity. Well, because him and I talked
because I went in to buy the
gift card. And he was like, well, yeah.
And I wanted to make sure, you know, it was okay. And so
give this gift card and I'll get them six needful things. And I can't imagine what that would do. Imagine like an Elvis glasses and maybe a baseball card. And
you have $100 to spend there on the gift card. You could buy a lot more than that.
Well, that person's definitely going to be committing suicide. Because as we saw in the book, not in the movie.
That's why it's not a good gift.
Not a good gift. Not a good gift.
That's a really good one. That's creative. Yeah.
Julio, what's the naughty gift for you?
I would give somebody Johnny Smith's powers.
Mm. Oh.
Because those are not fun powers.
No.
And he, you know, talks about how it feels like he's dying inside every time he does it. And it just gets worse every time he does it. Mm. So I think and the thing that's so scary about them is you never know when it's going to happen. Right.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. yes, when you touch somebody, but it also could be anything. So you're just kind of living in fear at any moment. So it's a pretty bad gift, right?
Yeah.
It's like Wednesday really in the new Wednesday show.
Yeah.
That's uh-huh.
Like that. Yeah.
Mm.
I do want to feel like, Mike, you would want that power, though.
I kind of would. Because then
I want to be like Johnny Smith.
So yeah, I would just use it like, you know, once every, like, what, 2 years or something.
But then you can't
control
it.
Why would you say that over the shine? Just take the shine and there's none of that.
I know, that's
right?
True.
That's true. Followed by ghosts.
That is true. Well, if you listen to Castle Rock season 3, episode 1, I do play Johnny's son, so I do have the powers, and let's just say I use them to my advantage.
You're the babe with the power.
I am, yeah.
What power?
Yeah, exactly.
The power of the babe.
Okay, I'm going to keep things morbid, too. We just covered the mist, so I'm going to say one of those skull spiders that David has to blast away there at the end. I'm going to put it in a terrarium, and then I'm going to drop it on the porch of someone who's been mean all year. Maybe someone who's given us 1-star reviews. I'm gonna be like, here you go. Here's a treat from Midworld.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, you know? You're welcome.
You get more spiders, like what, 3 weeks later?
Yeah. Yeah.
And their webs are toxic.
Toxic
too,
webs.
So. Yeah.
It's just a fucking nightmare. Just an absolute fucking nightmare. Guts. Yeah. Oh God. Go listen to our 3.5-hour episode on The Mist from a few weeks ago. God, Ashley goes all in on the monsters in that, and it's pretty wild stuff. They really reach for the sky on that one. Well, I'm going to reach for the sky here because this is our last round. We're snaking around, so it's my whirl. My whirl. I'll go with that. Mm-hmm. My twirl. So we're going to end this on the positive note. We're going to give one timeless gift from King's Dominion that should only be given to good constant readers, the nice ones. And we're talking Midworld because I just mentioned the Critters from the Mist, and we are really talking Midworld because we're closing the Dark Tower out this year and in the Made Feed this month. So I thought I'd choose something that was kind of nice, but also seems like a nice gift your parents would have given you. Now, I don't know if your parents are like mine, where in at least my grandparents did this. I can't remember if my parents did. But when I was little, they gave me stock in Disney, and it was like penny stock. It was like nothing really there. But I remember getting it as a kid and being like, oh, cool, neat. But it was nice. It was like a nice gesture of like, look, this is giving you a lesson to impart about the ways of the world and how, you know, capitalism works and all the great things that come with it. So I got Disney stock and amounted to nothing, but it got me interested in the economy. So what I would do is I would give constant listeners a hefty amount of stock in the Tet Corporation. So that's my nice gift to them, because the Tet Corporation seems like a good thing to have, right? Stock in, like, you know, it's Roland's Corporate. So
run by good people.
Run by good people. Yeah. This is a good thing. It's a blue chip stock, if there ever was one, at least in King's Dominion.
And look, if it goes down, the world's over anyway.
Exactly. So, you know, if it goes down, we're going down too. So,
right.
Julia.
How can you lose?
You can't. You cannot lose. Especially when you're with a tech group.
So again, Dark Tower experts here.
And honestly, like,
I haven't even finished it yet.
And honestly, you know, when I was getting these little checks from, you know, Mickey Land, Disney, when
Mickey
I was little,
Land.
They would have little pictures of Mickey on it. So maybe if you get a check, aww, it has like the rose or maybe like a little gun.
The quartet symbol I have. Yeah. The cross symbol I have exactly. It on my necklace.
See, it would have that. I like that. I like that.
I wear it always.
Is that, are you going to be giving that to your constant listeners that are?
Oh, as much as I love my Ka necklace, this is I think this is a bit of a step up. The talisman would make an incredible gift.
Ooh, yes.
Holy shit.
That's awesome.
It's a hell of a
I'm going ham, man. Yeah. You got it, right?
You're going to win Christmas. Give
yeah.
I know. I'm going to find you tomorrow.
Kingmas.
Yeah. That's a very good one. That's a very good one. Sammy.
So it's a gift that you can't get anywhere. But if you got like Al's root beer, but from like 1122, but like from the 50s when you first go back. So it's that like sarsaparilla, like classic root beer. And then like one of the burgers too, because they talk about how perfect it is.
Make it a pair. I'd like to be
so you get to go basically through the wormhole essentially, or like the door, whenever you want for classic grub. And I think that's a pretty good. I'm a root beer fan. So.
I'm in. I'm,
what about a Nozzle Cola? What about that?
That works too. That works.
Let's just pair them up together. Let's make a little
maybe
basket.
Not Moxie though.
No,
not Moxie. Moxie's
not
Moxie. That,
you guys don't like Moxie?
I like it.
I didn't love it.
It grew on me. It's a bit medicinal.
Yeah.
I hear it, but the whole time, every time I've been in Maine, that is, I will buy a case. I'm like, this is what I drink the entire time. It feels right.
Oh, really?
There were so many cases on the set of my film because I was like, this is Maine right here.
That's what we were with Whoopie Pie. I feel like Airbnb had like 8 half-eaten Whoopie Pies.
Oh, it got to the point where we couldn't figure out who ate what. And then we just started.
We all just started eating each other.
Yeah, so. But then somebody bought the pumpkin one that was amazing.
Oh, the pumpkin one was good.
That was really good.
Peanut butter.
Butter was good too.
Peanut butter was good
too. There's a maple one that was really good too.
We just, you're right. We did have like 8 of them at that whole entire weekend.
Because they're so big.
Yeah. And they get everywhere too. I think I had one that was in my jacket that I didn't realize until like a week later. And I was like, what the hell? I just got all over the fucking place. Well, that's a good one. I like that. You know what? I kind of want a burger now tonight.
That sounds delicious.
There you go.
It's going to happen.
You put some ice cream in it, make a little root beer float.
You know what? I'm just going to pretend it's from the 50s.
From
also.
Al's.
You know, it's from Al's. Jen, close us out. What's the gift that you're going to, that's going to keep on giving?
Well, this gift definitely will keep on giving. I want to give Constant Readers a bound special edition copy of all of the meeting notes, because I think that would be great. But for gift that other people besides me would like, I'm going to give them pyrokinesis.
Oh, okay. You're bringing it back. You just
exactly.
Special powers.
I wonder how many King Misses are going to go by where we keep saying, it's still not a thing. That's not
exactly.
And,
Well, I guess until
2023.
That's my year. Yeah.
This is like anything else, right? They say practical purpose. Like if you sat down and really tried for 5 minutes a day, every day for this entire year, maybe by next Kingsmas, you could be setting little fires, right? You could be getting there.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like Malcolm Gladwell would like think that that's exactly the way to do it.
I burn
it all down.
You know? Yeah. You put your 10,000 hours in, you're good to go.
Exactly.
So I was wondering, and I was trying to do the math in my head, because we just did our Spotify Wrapped, which proved that we were in I think we're in the 99% of the people don't do this, is that I guess the amount of hours that we put into the world out there.
It's a lot of us.
No one does as
talking.
Many minutes as us. I think we're in the top 1% of or whatever. I can't remember what the stat was at this point. Everything kind of jumbles together. But I did wonder, given how many hours that we put out into the world each year, have we done the 10,000 hours yet? Mm. I say yes. I think we have. I think we probably have. Yeah.
I
mean, as you can tell from me stumbling right now, I clearly have. You know, I'm clearly
we are all experts. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we all are. Julia, would you say that you've done 10,000 on horror movies?
Horror movies. So it's been going on for 6 years. So
it's gotta be.
Think so. Yeah. But you also have way longer episodes than I do.
Yeah.
Because we have 30 to 45 minutes and you guys are going 3.5 hours, right? Yeah. You're going real
That's
hard.
True. That's true. That's true. I think Randall alone for his Dark Tower coverage this year has done about 10,000 hours. So
oh, geez.
Or at least it feels that way. Well, no, look, don't get me wrong. I love the Dark Tower. It's great.
We do love the Dark Tower. Yeah. That's what they say about us, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, when they were thinking like, oh, what would you rather do, Dark Tower or Faithful? I was like, oh, I'll do Faithful, you know? And like, I don't think anyone would really want that, especially based on the response to our post last week. Anyway, this was fun. I will say, I'm all thought out. I've gone from a one to I'm a lucky seven, a lucky number 11. Hashtag Josh Harnett.
I like that movie. It doesn't get the love it deserves.
It really doesn't. And you know, I love Josh Harnett, so I always wanted a bigger career for him. So maybe he needed a lucky number 7, not a 11. Anyway,
it's a typo that signaled the end for him.
Yeah, what, they just had the typo in these major Hollywood studios. They're like, just roll with it. Yeah, we'll see. It's
fine.
It's Hollywood.
He's hot. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, don't get me started on Josh Harnett. I got in trouble over Halloween. He's talking about him. I think I said I want to wear him. That's
oh, my.
Weird, he's talked about right? a lot in our household.
Weird thing to say. Anyway, this has been a weird and fun episode. It's time to close up the King and Claus workshop and head home. But before we do, let's tell our constant listeners what's next and what they can look forward to. Julia, when can we finally see I Know What You Need? And and what can we do to help? I was going to say.
Thank you. Didn't mean to interrupt. The movie is now in consideration for film festivals. So it's a wait and see playing game kind of thing. But as you'll recall, the contract with King forbids me putting it online. Yeah. So the losers will definitely get to see it. See, this is how it works, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
this, it's a small thing. So, but I'm so excited to see where it's going to play. And it's because as a filmmaker, you have no idea, right? This is just somebody's going to take it, but you know, it's going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Just where, who knows? So and of course, as a filmmaker, you hope that will lead to a next project, right? That's always the filmmaker's goal is to now, you know, so we'll see. And then I have Horror Movie Survival Guide, and I also have my other podcast, Joda Wowski, that I do. And you can find me online at Julia C. Marchese on all the things.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm hoping that 2023 is when we see. I'm wondering about. Mm-hmm. I was trying to kick around ideas for festivals too, because we just did the Creep Show, and we really want to do another one of something like that. And I know that it was too early to premiere it there at the time, so we should talk for 2023.
Could do like a 70s theme.
Oh, that'd be awesome! Actually, Somebody's King. That'd be fun. Yeah. That'd be fun.
Please invite me anytime. I'm so excited. I'm doing little motions with my hands.
You had a film fest yourself, actually, Boston, right? Was it Boston for?
I did. I programmed at the Somerville Theater in Boston for Halloween. They invited me to come program a week of films of whatever I wanted for Halloween, and have it up on a big screen in the theater for 800, you know, with 35 millimeter. It was a dream. I got to play Lost Boys and Fright Night for actual Halloween.
Oh my God, what a killer.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, I had a really good, I feel like I picked some pretty good movies, but the fun thing about it was about 75% of the audience had not seen either one.
Oh my God.
So watching like a huge audience, and most of them have not seen Lost Boys. So when Timmy Capello came out with his saxophone, people lost their mind.
Oh my God. So, yeah. It was awesome. That song like absolutely fucking kills.
It's
too. Like I love that song. Like I know, like, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, for a while were like, oh, it's the saxophone song or whatever. But like that song is so slickly produced. It's so like, it's got that thick, like late 80s sound that was so prevalent in a lot of like rock and roll at the time. And I will say, put that song on and I feel so good. Like you have the worst day.
It's such good inspiration. I just realized after 20 years or more, that it's a religious song, man.
Oh, I never thought about
because
that.
Because he's going to go in the desert for 40 days. He's
still
going to cave. He still believes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if you listen to lyrics, and then I was like, oh, it's a religious song.
That is true.
That would be my reaction. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's mine always.
Well, Jen, what's going on down over at Psychoanalysis this holiday?
Well, so we have our episode on The Night House is dropping tomorrow, I think, considering when this is going to be out. Or I don't know, it might already be out, but it's coming if it's not here already. And our most recent episode is Barbarian, which was really fun. And then Mike and I are doing Dealer's Choice, where we each get to pick our own comfort horror movie.
Ooh.
And so Mike picked The Battery, which I had never seen before, but it's really good. It's this really tiny zombie indie, but it was really good. And then I picked Cabin in the Woods because I
love that
you
one.
Love
that movie. Of mine too.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. The Cabin Woods. Great. I'm trying to always think of like the creature that always gets me at the end.
The like merman?
So many of them. The merman's so eerie because it's like something that's the one they're so rooting gross. For the whole movie, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Bradley. Yeah.
Eric from Billy Madison. Yeah. The acclaimed.
Josh Lyman.
Yeah, I know that's true. You do love love West Wing. Yeah. All right, well, Sammy, what can our listeners expect for the rest of the month here on the Losers Club?
Well, we've got a Sometimes They Come Back Lobstrosities episode coming up.
Yes, that's going to be on our Patreon. We got so if you are, I believe it's the SS Georgie tier. So that is the reason why we chose that is because Randall and I were thinking, well, we got to keep things like frosty. And we've run out of a lot of wintry stuff here at the Losers Club. So we are now at the third Sometimes They Come Back movie. So, you know, we're keeping it frosty. So, yeah.
Oh, Sometimes They Come Back for more.
For more. Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's the
and
third
then
one.
And we're getting the Dark Power Part 1 book episode and Part 2 on Patreon for early access if you're a patron. So we've got a big book month.
It's a big book month. And it's honestly, let's be real. It's been a big book quarter. And I think everyone, and I could see the feed, are still catching up because look, you know, for the last couple of years, and I'll say this, the last year, you get a couple of troublemakers that come on our feed sometimes and they go, what happened to the old days when we did a book episode every month? And I tell them, I say, we still do it. We still try to do some sort of book episode every month. It could be A Dance Macabre where we kind of spin off and detour into books that influence King or he's given the King bump. Or we do something, a little left of the dial. But either way, you get a book episode. And now guess what? We're back in the old days and you're getting a book episode every fucking month. And look, let's be frank. These are hard books to get through really fast. Mm-hmm. So I hope you enjoy it. You know, be careful what you wish for. You had Wolves of the Cala in October. We had Songs of Susanna in November. And now Dark Tower, which I believe is like over 1,000 pages long. And it's a very long book. And look,
soak it up.
This team, a wonderful quartet, has managed to go 3 months and deliver all of these. So we are going to get, you're going to get two book episodes. And because we are so down to the wire about it, usually we do each book episode gets an early access to our theme. This is all a plug for our Patreon, patreon.com/thebarons. Go to it, $5, $10. You go all year, 15% off. You get a whole annual membership. We're doing that for our holiday discount. But traditionally, the book episodes, you get the Overlook patrons get a week ahead of time. Now, because we're so down to the wire, we can only do the second volume on there. So, but normally we get them a week ahead of time. So
still a lot of content.
Oh
yeah.
Can I just mention that I'm 150 pages away from finishing The Dark Tower. Then I will have read everything.
My God.
Wow. End of it is my favorite part of the whole thing.
I have been putting it off for 4 years by reading everything else. So this is a big moment for me. So I'm just putting it out there.
You got to join The Dark Tower Detour, which you can also find in The Barons, which is because at the dance show, they go deep into Dark Tower lore. So Julia, you got to join them because they're going to be doing some special stuff right when we finish, because it has been so hard for us to not spoil things in the Dark Tower of the last 6 years. So for us to finally be done, with the exception of Wind Through the Keyhole, we will finally be able to talk about things that happen in these books that we don't have to worry about people going nuts. I'm sure people are still going to go nuts and give us 1-star reviews about it, but at least we're in the right. We're in the right this time.
We'll send them all those cranky gifts that we thought of.
Exactly.
So, you know,
I'll send them the gift card to Needful Things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, look, busy times, busy times. But it ain't over till the Crimson King sings. So until then, be sure to make your lists, check them twice, and stay off the ice, as Johnny Smith has warned us.
It's gonna break.
Instead, start getting cozy because Kingmas is right around the corner, and once more, we're all gonna be celebrating it together here in King's Dominion over long days
and
pleasant nights.
I got some hot friends. 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 Somebody to treat you good.
This is the end of our show. For now. Tune in next week. If you like our programming, consider searching for other bloody disgusting podcasts, such as Creepy, Horror Queers, The Boo Crew, SCP Archives, Nightlight, Margaret's Garden, and more.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.